Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
March 17, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. And if you weren't looking for this show, I don't know how you accidentally find it anymore. Anyway, we are broadcasting live on all of our regular facilities and all that good stuff. And this is the Friday night call-in show. I know there has not been a lot of live stuff on the network this week. We didn't plan a lot of live stuff. Because, well, my computer went down and I had no idea how long it would take to get things back and running. Because the last time I had a computer go down, it took me 3 days with help to rebuild stuff. Okay, just to get it working again. And this time I rebuilt it from top to bottom. And quite frankly, one very serious, just about nervous breakdown aside, I got it done in about a day and a half, I think, really, once I finally had all the material in my hands. So the broken down computer, your contributions, those of you that did kick in, I do appreciate you because it wouldn't have happened without you. But also it took a bit of money, took a bit of doing, and my nervous breakdown, because this time I had no help, no advice from anybody assisting me. Okay, so the blind guy rebuilt the whole studio, top to bottom. And I did a few other things. Maybe I'll talk about that as we go further into the show tonight. We're suspending even the newly adopted protocol where, you know, we split the first hour, me and B-Pete, because B-Pete is my co-host on the Friday night show and glad to have him along with me. But we were doing a new thing where a half hour each, we could sit there and bring up whatever it is each of us independently chooses to. And then in the second hour, you guys would call in. Instead, tonight, we're going to go straight to the call-ins when you guys decide to drop in. And B-Pete, I'm going to let him go through a couple of things in the news, which I have not been watching all that intently this week. Okay. Because wasn't feeling well, was trying to arrange things, was... Well, there was a lot going on behind the scenes, okay? Aside from the nervous breakdown and the rebuilding the computer and getting the O'Chelly and the Greek-rated Y shows back to rolling, yeah, a lot of stuff's been going on this week. So I was busy and didn't really watch much news at all. If you guys heard Hell and High Water this week, which I put on the broadcast channel, because, you know, I wanted to rotate in some new material. You probably heard I wasn't entirely up on a lot of the news. Yeah, that's the way it's been all week. Anyway, my co-host B-Pete is with me, and so could you be. 319-527-5016. We do have open lines. And, I'm going to put the call switchboard up on the screen. We started live broadcasts on Sunday with Aaron's show, thankfully. And we were supposed to do Chris's, but Chris didn't feel well, and he did a live show today, but that is what it is. Like I said, re-releases, stuff like that, and I did a live show with Larry Hancock, Greg, I don't want to mispronounce his name again, but Doudna? I think it's Doudna. Anyway, talking about the General Walker shooting, and also Mike Swanson talking about the bank collapse. So I did go live with the O'Chelly Effect yesterday. I think a lot of you didn't notice, but the podcast is out. And all that. So re-release, one Get Mad, I think I got out. And, well, I had to catch up the stuff that got interrupted from the week where the computer went down. So there was some new material that came out over the past week, but not as much as should be. And, of course, Jack Blood also taking the past, 2 weeks off. 1 week because of me, because computer down. And 1 week he just could not make it. And there may be more to talk about that in the future, too. Anyway, back to the issue at hand. My co-host B-Pete with me, going to let him talk to you in a minute and join us in the conversation. But, again, I offer you the opportunity, you listening, if you're hearing us live, just a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the 17th day of March, 2023, according to that thing we call a calendar. If that's going on, you can call in 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. We may not be as loud as I thought we were, but don't worry. We should be nice and clear and clean sounding. Anyway, B. Pete, now that I've run my mouth for a couple of minutes, let's see, just about five. how you doing, man?
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everybody that's listening and catches this down the road.
Oh, that's right.
17th of and the year's flying by. It really is. I'm doing good. It's been another hectic week at work. We are, but with the weather has allowed us to get a lot of stuff done, so we've not really slowed down. But I'm suffering from our annual pollen shower that we get for about 2 months. Mm. And it's really been rough, so I may sound a little stuffed up on your end.
Okay. Well, actually, you sound really normal. You know, it didn't occur to me till just this minute because I actually know, look, B. Pete is not his actual name. I know his actual name. Not too many people do that know him as B. Pete online. But I was just thinking to myself, you know, yeah, you might actually be one of those people who takes St. Patrick's Day seriously, huh?
Well, I used to. Now, I used to. I'd always head down to Myrtle Beach. They have an excellent little parade going on, and it's day drinking from like 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, you make an event of it. But, yeah, St. Patrick's Day is one of those holidays that lets everybody be Irish for a day.
Mm. I'm not exactly sure why everybody wants to be Irish for a day. Now, I am speaking as somebody who's half Irish, too, by the way. I don't often mention that, but I am... virus. Yeah, and you know, some of us are from the green part of the flag, you know, the green and the orange and the white flag there representing Ireland. Some of us are from the green part of the flag and some of us are from the orange part of the flag. And you know, if you don't know your Irish history, you have no idea and you think everything is about St. Patrick and the green and the clover, right? Because as you said, it's kind of become seriously Americanized. I don't think it's a global phenomenon, but very American, right? To sort of celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I used to love it in Jersey. A lot of there parades, were, you know.
When I was over there, there were areas that would celebrate. But see, they have their, you know how they have Mardi Gras in New Orleans?
Right.
They have their period called Fasching, which is festivals and parades and everything. And it kind of follows the same line as Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And so we're with, but. It's starting to pick up over in Europe. It's becoming more popular in places because every major city you go to in Europe, there's always an English or Irish styled pub.
Okay.
And they usually do very well. And so one of your big night spots that people go to celebrate it. So it's becoming more popular.
Well, see, places in Jersey, a lot of places naturally have, you know, Irish and English names, but a lot of Irish names because Northeast, huge amount of Irish people settled there. And so, you know, just logically, you end up with a lot of Irish pubs. And even places that don't serve food will suddenly have corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. And for some ungodly reason, they try to or succeed at dyeing the beer green. I don't know if that happens everywhere either. You know, again, I haven't been, you know, too involved in public drunkenness or anything in many, many years, and not since I moved down south. So I don't think there was a big, like, Irish celebration here in Georgia that I saw. But it used to be huge in the tri-state area. And like I said, big party, big parade, right? And everybody, you know, kiss me, I'm Irish. Or you probably can't do that anymore because, God help you, even wearing a pin like that, you're... Maybe you're inciting sexual assault just by suggesting it. I mean, you know how things are nowadays. There's that, right? And wouldn't it be, I wonder, is anybody going to complain about ethnic insensitivity to the Irish, maybe? Because, you know, you see leprechauns and shillelaghs and people wearing, you know, the bowler hats that are green. They're made of, you know, plastic usually with some kind of felt-ish material kind of on it, this kind of crap. I wonder if anybody, you know, turns around and says, hey, you know, you're being offensive to my actual heritage. And, you know, St. Patrick might not have actually been a good guy. You know, go ahead. Sorry.
But here in the United States, though, the only ones that complain of that about that are liberal white women. You know, they went after Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
You can't wear that sombrero. You know, you can't, you know, flout your bottle of Pepe Lopez. It's ridiculous. And that's who you would hear anybody complain about somebody putting on a a green derby or a leprechaun top hat would be some liberal white woman wanting to complain. Uh-huh. I've yet to ever hear an Irishman say that he didn't appreciate somebody, you know, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. I've never heard a Mexican complain about Cinco de Mayo, ever. It's funny.
Yeah,
but, conjunction with this holiday, our state is, they celebrate it so much that this is one of the periods during the year that the Highway Patrol always runs their Booze It and Lose It campaign.
Oh, boy. So a lot of DUI stops, right? Where, DUI checkpoints.
Yeah. Uber really gets busy tonight. Uber will have a good night.
If you're an Uber driver, you're making money on St. Patrick's Day in North Carolina is what you're telling me, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean... I don't know. It's I know that the taxis, the subways, everything would be quite busy on St. Patrick's Day, again in New York or New Jersey, Connecticut too. I lived there briefly. Yeah,
I read some other. And we may have discussed this before, but you know the holiday with the most DUIs is Thanksgiving.
Really? I would have thought it was Christmas.
Not Christmas, not New Year's, but Thanksgiving, because so many, families get together just for the sake of getting together. You really don't do anything else on Thanksgiving. You know, Christmas, you have trees and church and presents and all these other things. Thanksgiving is just everybody gets together. And I guess we've gotten so bad as families that you have to drink to be able to tolerate the day.
Well, it's there's two problems there, right? You got to be able to drink to put up with whoever the hell you're eating a turkey with, I guess. And on top of it, you're not looking to stay over. You're going to hell home, right? So you probably went to somebody else's house, to eat. And then you got to go home. I mean, so, yeah, I can see there's more. Actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Because if I got to listen to my brother all afternoon, I'm going to have a drink.
I mean, really. And even though for some reason, dinner is at like 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving, right? And so by mid-afternoon, you're looking at everybody going, like, I either am going to sit here and watch football and, like, nod off and on, or I'm going to get the hell out of here because I realized why I stay away from you people 360 days a year.
I thought that Thanksgiving or New Year's would have had the most, but they've been pushing these safe driving campaigns for New Year's for years. So, a lot of people will go and get a ticket at a hotel where they're having a big party with a live band. And when they're done, they just go upstairs to their room, they'll call cat. So, but Thanksgiving, you don't really think about it that much.
Well, see, because I think really you plan. Surprising. Yeah, you plan to be drunk on New Year's, right? So you go, all right, I know I'm going to be lit. Let me make sure I've got taxi money, or let me make sure that where I'm getting lit is the place where I'm going to crash. You do that, but when you do Thanksgiving, you don't think about it until you're sitting there trying to tolerate it, right?
All of the hotels over, like in Greenville and down at the beach at Moorhead, places like that, I mean, every one of them, they run a special where they have their ball going on, their New Year's Eve ball in their ballroom, and then it's a special package for the room and champagne and party favors. And so, they add a premium on top of it. They get a good band in there. They can fill up the hotel that night.
Wow. Well, I missed out on that when I lived there. I guess I didn't realize that was going on. Like I said, but New York City, even if you go for the whole, Times Square nonsense, the complete, tourist ridiculousness, and you do that, usually you wind up taking, the subway out of there. Nobody's driving. I mean, really, you're almost stupid to be driving into New York City on New Year's or driving in or out of it. It's just done. It's just dumb. So it makes a lot more sense that you don't get busted New Year's, because you have to plan it out. But Thanksgiving, like you said, you go, okay, I'm going to go to whoever's house. I'm going to eat. And then you're thinking about it, and you got access to alcohol, and you go, oh, thank God somebody went to the, liquor store before. And you get lit, and then you decide, I got to get the hell home. I got to get away from these people. so it's not as well planned out. Okay. So we've already got a caller, and we haven't talked about much yet, but I do want to get to some news. You want to get to the caller or the news first?
Well, we can bring the caller in, and then, like I said, I've just got a list here. We'll go down, and when we find one that interests us, we'll dive into it, and then pull back out and go back down the list. So,
okay, sounds good. So let's get to the first caller, and again, you can join 319-527-5016 if you're hearing us live on the 17th day of March, 2023. You can call in 319-527-5016. And I'm pretty sure we got Jimmy James on the line, man. How you doing? Happy St. Patrick's Day there, Jimmy James.
Well, thank you, Chuck. As you know, I used to think I was Irish. And then a family member took a DNA test, and it turns out I'm
6%. Hmm. 6%. Hmm. I'm thinking about the division
but
on that.
I am 50% Scottish.
Oh, okay. Well,
the thing is apparently some Scottish people got into Ireland and was living there, and then they took off to America. So that must be how that happened.
Well, that does make some sense. You know, when people come back with these, you know, I have a DNA test, and it turns out this or that, it's like, you know, it's a little difficult because not everybody's stuck to their region depending on different times in history, right? I mean, you've got, you know, serious times where, okay, well, I've got German blood. Well, your German blood might have ended up, you know, sitting in England, let's say, for a while. Now, if it was there for a couple hundred years, are you now English or are you still German? You know what I mean? Like, what is the point at which they decide that you're stuck to that region? You know what I'm saying? It gets a little weird, doesn't it?
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, right. Like, he was an Irish shoe cobbler. So, gosh, I always assumed he was Irish.
There you go. I mean, and look, you've heard me talk about being Sicilian. That's a whole other big mess, you know, because Sicilians ended up with all sorts of ethnicities blended in because they were a good staging point for invasion for the Roman Empire, right? So you've got Asian, African, Middle Eastern, various Europeans. You know, where did the Visigoths come from, right? I mean, at some point they were in Spain. So I guess you could say Spanish is in there. The ethnicities mixed into what is Sicilian makes it all almost irrelevant. Like, depending on what point in history we're talking about, you know, do my people come from Africa or do they come from Sicily? Do they come from Spain or do they come from Sicily, right? Are they actually Middle Eastern? Or is it just one guy got in there, and he's in the mix, so therefore he's, you know, some fractional piece of my family tree? It gets very weird. So, I don't know. I always shake my head at that stuff when people change their whole identities based on the DNA tests, you know, the 33andMe or whatever the hell they call those things. Is that what it is, 33andMe? Right?
Don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry, Chuck. Yeah. I'm not going to start wearing one of them kilts.
Well, hey, look, you know, there was a certain tunic during Scotland's history as well that wasn't quite like a kilt, but might have been similar, depending on, again, which region you're from, which clan, right? So, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Hey, look, you want to wear a kilt, bro? I mean, I'm all for it. Wear what you like. I mean, you know, you're a grown man. You can make your decisions. Not saying I want pictures or anything, you know, but anyways.
To various degrees of success, yes, I do make decisions.
Ah, fair enough. Anyway, so Jimmy James, I'm sure this wasn't all of what was on your mind, but did you have something you wanted to throw on the table here, or should we move on to see what's on B. Pete's list, because I have no idea?
Well, I just wanted to ask B. Pete if he's got that on his news list. The sovereign citizen who got pulled over. Do you have that story, BP?
Look, was that here in the States?
Yes.
I don't see it in the list, but when we go through it, I may come across it. I have seen some recent videos on YouTube about people getting pulled over, and when they get into court, the arguments that they have on sovereign citizenship.
Right.
It's kind of like,
well, just a warning to everyone. My main thing I wanted to say is, if you get pulled over, comply now, complain later. Your sovereign citizen friend just had 40 rounds of ammunition pumped into his car, and he's no longer with us because he would not comply.
Mm.
And as soon as the cops seen that he had some kind of weird holster on, they filled him with lead.
Wow. Was this a guy who was, like, online doing that whole thing? Like, because there's a bunch of those who say, you know, like, look, I'm going to videotape my interaction or video my interaction, videotape, I keep saying because I'm old. But I'm going to take a video.
This is just a poor kid that listened to those guys on those videos who was driving around with his own made-up license plate, made his own license and stuff, thought he was being cute. And now he's no longer with us.
Mm. That sucks. That really sucks. But, okay. No, I didn't know about that story. I didn't see it. But maybe B-Pete has it in his news list. And, look, I would suggest to be very, very careful with that kind of stuff. Because even though a lot of it is technically correct, it doesn't matter to the people you're interacting with if they don't know that. See, even if you think you have, you know, all of the law on your side and whatever, it's really not going to matter to the guy who didn't study the same things you did. You know what I mean? And they act according to what it is they are told to do. And, you know, again, I'm always leery of the police. But you will not find me, not in the past 30 years anyways, ever resisting arrest or giving them any sort of problems. Because I'm not going to sit there and do battle with these guys who are paid to walk around with guns on. It's just not going to happen, you know, unless they're literally trying to kill me, in which case, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do. But other than that, yeah, I don't like to argue with them at all. So your point is well taken. However, you know, it doesn't mean that somebody might have not been technically correct about whether you actually need a license or this and that. And you know, all that's great and everything. But you lose the argument if you're dead, I think is the point Jimmy James wants to make. Is that about right, Jimmy James?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would just want everyone to go home alive, preferably.
Well, you can't do nothing else if you don't do that first, right?
No, not normally.
Not normally. There you go. So anyway, B-Pete, I'll tell you what, I think, Jimmy James, I'm just going to put you on hold temporarily, and hopefully, I mean, I'll bring you back for sure in a few minutes, but let's get to a couple of news stories and then maybe take a break and also invite some more people to call in. 319-527-5016. Since I wasn't consistent about live shows this week, I expect there won't be too many callers, but, you know, it's always great and especially great to hear from new people. If you've thought about calling before and you want to call in and tell me what you think about whatever, something that's gone out through the network, something that's going on in the news, something happened with you locally or even personally, by all means, call in and let's share it. We're totally open tonight, except, again, we're going to take a listen to what B-Pete has collected for headlines and see if we can't come up with a couple of things to discuss for the next about an hour and a half or so. Before this live show is all done with. So, B-Pete, what do you got?
I have to point out that so far, when Jimmy James is talking, I haven't heard the feedback that we had before. Have you noticed that?
No, not that time. Only a little bit. Only a little bit. There was that little rumbly noise. But,
okay.
Yeah, it could be.
I didn't hear it. I do.
Yeah, but it was something that was particular to him because we had plenty of people that didn't make that rumbly noise, but for some reason, what do you think? Maybe my old equipment was interacting with his equipment badly? Is that what the deal was?
Who knows? It could have been. You never know.
I have no idea.
Could have been anything.
We should be sounding a lot cleaner than normal right now, and one place you don't want to be is in my headphones, though, because it's loud as hell in my headphones. That's one problem I haven't been able to fix yet, but everything else should be cleaner and smoother and working well. And Buster is giving me a little bit of noise behind me. I don't know if you guys heard the dog, but come here, Buster. It's okay. Come here, bud. I got my,
I figured you had eaten. It was your stomach.
No, that's my four-legged co-host. You know, he's sharing the mic with you tonight a little bit, BP, but he won't say much. So what do you got on tap?
Well, I mean, I've just got a list here, and we've got it grouped by areas and topics. So starting out, the financial crisis that is experienced by everybody worldwide right now with the way interest rates and everything are. Australia's going to have some problems this winter with people being shocked on how much their power bills are going to go up. Deutsche Bank and the WEF look towards the end of cash. That one's interesting. I've read several stories on that here lately where they're talking about going to this digital currency, not like cryptocurrency, but their own, I guess, global government accepted digital currency.
See, I find that to be an almost invalid discussion anymore, because in truth, no matter what you want to call the currency you're working with, whenever you make a transaction anymore, it is just a digital representation, right? It's just a digital numeric thing. And even if I, like one of the bills that I pay, I've told you about this before, right? That one of the bills I pay, I have to pay it in Great British Pounds. And when I do, it doesn't affect whatever they call it on their end, and whatever I call it on my end is kind of irrelevant. It's just a numerical, it's an equation. So it's just a digital equation. It's like there's no paper, there's no check, there's no, you know what I'm saying? So the majority of what we do anymore, I mean, how many people do you know that actually have a wad of cash in their pockets anymore? I mean, you know, unless you know a lot of drug dealers.
Yeah, I've noticed that on the job site, you know, like the gut wagon would come around at lunchtime and somebody's going, hey, somebody, I need $1.50, you know, to get a sandwich, or I'm a little short. People never have cash anymore. Everybody's using debit cards or credit cards.
Debit card, credit card, their phone, right? Their phones. And even the places that were their old Roach coaches, the only new thing is that they pull out, you know, a greasy iPad, right? And go, well, it's okay. You can pay on here. Right? So.
Yeah. I mean, even the, you know, the laundromats are all different now. There's no cash. You load stuff up on a card at an ATM and you use your card for all the machines. They've done away with quarters and change. You go to the ATM, slide your card in, and then put either feed your money into the machine to load it on the card, put your debit card or credit card in there to load on the card.
Right.
So this guy that's cleaning up the end of the night, he's not having to do any cash transactions at all.
Well, right. Another interesting part of that is, I don't know if you've noticed soda machines now. There's a lot of soda machines. They're not taking your, you know, they used to take your quarters, your dollar, you know, you'd have to sit there and smooth it out. And
wanted,
I'm sorry, you cut out.
You know,
what?
Four quarter. I said, I haven't seen a drink machine that has taken change in a long time. It's all either $1, $5, or debits or speed pays, either through Apple Pay or whatever Android or Amazon's using. Amazon Pay, I guess, or Google Pay.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the Walmarts here in Georgia, they still take coins, too, but they also take cards. And I think there's a sensor on there so you can wave some sort of pass at it. But I don't know, you know, some of these things, I just recently got a cell phone again. So I have a cell phone. But I haven't had a cell phone in years. A lot of people are just paying with their cell phones somehow. Familiar with all this. I mean, I know theoretically how it works, but I haven't done it. You know,
quilts and stuff wash, so I went to the laundromat to use their big machines.
Okay.
You know, because these pretty bulky quilts, and I took them out of storage. I took them down there, ran them through the washer, put them in the dryer. It's funny, the vending machines in the laundromat now, you can't even use a separate card. You load stuff onto your laundry card, and those drink machines and candy machines will take it off your laundry card.
Oh, nice.
So there's other than at the ATM in the wall, there's no cash in any of the machines anymore. It's all done electronically off that card that they charge $1 for the card, but it is reusable.
Mm-hmm. So you pay $1 for the card and then you got to load it up. And then you know what the fun part of that is, and I've seen this talked about before, is the unused portions, right? When you get down to 15 cents left on a card or something, and nobody can use it. So what happens to all that, right? I know it sounds petty and weird, and like maybe it's a plot point for an old Superman movie, but nonetheless, it's a reality.
You lose it unless you give it, sell it to somebody, at the laundromat so that you say, hey, give me a quarter and I'll give you this card. It's got 50 cent on it. Cause you know, it's not enough for a dryer. It's enough for like 4 minutes.
Right.
So I see the one person standing there with 27 cards with 15 cents on it and trying to do their one load of laundry.
Wow. You've actually seen somebody like that, like with a whole bunch of the cards with like a little tiny bit on the card?
Yeah, because, you know, when I moved in here till washer and dryer was operating, I had to go to the laundromat. Well, there's a chain that runs through here. The wash house, they've got them in Greenville, Aiden, Kinston. And the funny thing is, if you go to another one, the card that you use in Kinston doesn't work at the one in Aiden. You got to buy a new card for a dollar and you got to load it up.
Yeah.
So they got a racket.
You know what's funny about that is they tried running that in the early 2000s with gas stations where you had these cards that you loaded up at the gas stations. Like if you were loyal to a particular gas station, and it worked out for a little bit, but then people got irritated with it and were just went back to using the debit cards, you know?
I had a friend of mine in college that parents, he would go home about every 3 weeks. I mean, he always went home for the long holidays because basically, you know, the campus would shut down for a week at Christmas, whatever. But he would always go home about every 3 weeks.
Okay.
He'd take laundry that he wasn't able to do, stuff like that. His parents always, without fail, gave him three $50 Shell gas cards.
Okay.
Where they had gone down to the local Shell station and loaded them up for him. So it was like he'd come back, he'd go home, spend all his money partying over the weekend, come back on Monday, and it's like, hey, do you want to go out? No, man, I'm broke. But if they sell it at a Shell station, I can buy it. I got $150.
Yeah, right. Because you could use them in the store too, right? So, you know, he didn't have to go hungry. I mean, he might have to buy chips and crap, but he could buy something at the Shell. That's perfect.
They wanted to make sure their kid had gas to make it home if he had to. So they were thoughtful parents.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. But then kids started demanding the, you know, give me a Visa card or a MasterCard, right, which you could also load. And the banks really promoted those for a little while, the preloadeds. Oh, yeah. And again, though, I guarantee there was a whole bunch of them with a dollar on them or something that people didn't bother to use. You know, they got lost, thrown away. And after a while, I think the balance goes away, right, after a certain amount of time.
Or that if you, like these gift cards, you know, they end up with an amount on 85 cent, 95 cent, 75 cent. And the millions of gift cards that are sold every year. And, I mean, it's lost money. Those people, they're making a racket off of it. You add up 85 cent, you know, on a million cards, it adds up.
Right.
And after a certain time, your card goes dead anyway. So if you had anything on it, for a while, I noticed there was a business online where if you were given gift cards for a certain amount, you could cash them in at that place, but they would take a cut. So if you had a $50 gift card, you might only get $45 and they'd keep five or whatever their processing fee was.
Yeah.
But that's how they made their capital was by the difference.
Right. Pawn shops in Jersey were doing that too, where they were giving you like 40 cents on the dollar if you brought in gift cards. Yeah, where it was like that. And it's just, you want cash? Fine, no problem, but you're going to get 40 cents on the dollar. So,
you know, the funny thing is here, most of the pawn shops here will not take debit or credit cards because of what they get charged by Visa and MasterCard to process them. They want cash only. They turn it into completely cash businesses.
Yeah, well, see, but there you go. And where are they going to go in the circumstances we see now? I've also got another caller on, so I'm going to get to, and we still got Jimmy James on hold. We'll get back to him, but I'll let the other caller jump in here for a minute, see if he's got anything he wants to add to the discussion. And we'll just play it by ear for a minute. We'll take a break soon, but not too soon, but fairly soon, right, before the hour's up anyway. And I do believe I have to ask this caller if he's Vance-tastic.
I haven't been Vance-tastic for a while, but it still applies.
All right, fair enough. And you know, you're laughing. You're laughing. You sound good, brother. So I'm glad to hear from you. Haven't heard from you in a little bit, but how are you really?
You know, I'm still going through. You know, I haven't made any statements on, you know, whatever the details are. It doesn't really matter, I guess, but it's just been a process, still going through it. And we could talk a long time about my disappointment in the medical, you know, industry and how all that goes and everything. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you just got to kind of go with the flow and, you know.
I hear
so
you.
I'm hanging in there, and it ain't like I'm going to die anytime soon or anything. In a nutshell, it comes down to I might lose my colon and my rectum, and I really don't want to do that, so I'm fighting for not having that happen, and it's real hard. The doctors, they just want to cut stuff out. They don't want to, you know, they want to do the quick fix, and I'm kind of in the middle of, you know, exactly what my options are and all that. So, but one way or the other, I'll come out of it.
I got you, man. Well, look, I really hope that you come out of it as best you can and in one piece, if possible, you know. But one way or another, keep breathing, will you? Because you're one of these guys who makes it a better place that you're here. You know what I'm saying? So I really hope that you continue on just being. But we'll leave that aside for a moment. You know, unless you really want to get into that, I mean, that's up to you. But I would say, you know, just know I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you,
and I appreciate it.
You could have cheered yourself up had you stopped by my house this week. Because you could have seen me having a nervous breakdown at about 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out why the hell something didn't work. But because I had to rebuild the studio and everything from scratch when the computer died, so that could have been fun for you. Addy Ads, by the way, guy who's been on the show a few times. He even called into the Friday night show once, BP, if you remember. He happened to be in Georgia today, and he stopped by just to say hi for like 20 minutes, and I was like, cool. You know, I forgot to give him a couple of pens. BP, you still have enough of them, don't you? Know what I did to BP? I sent him a couple of water bottles because I had the Ocelli Effect water bottles a couple years ago, and I filled the water bottles with pens, and I think he still has not run out. Been a couple of years you're using Ocelli Effect pens, right, BP?
No, and the thing is, I keep a couple in my truck at work, and I can always tell when somebody steals my pen. It's like, hey, you got that out of my truck. No, I didn't. I said, okay, tell me who Ocelli is. Give me my pen back, damn it.
An anti-theft device, my advertising pen becomes. That's cool. Anyways.
It's good. Tell me who Ocelli is. What nationality is he? And if they can't answer that, then they've never heard
you. Wouldn't you be shocked? I'll tell you what. If they do know, they earned the pen, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll give them a second one.
There you go. Because you still have plenty of them.
The 10 pack that were in the plastic pack, mm-hmm. I haven't even broke that open yet. I'm still using the ones out of the water bottles.
I threw in a pack. I had packs of 10, like in little, like peg bags at one point, too. I don't have them anymore. I have a few loose ones left. Actually, I actually have to order some more pens when I get some more money because you want to send me some pens? Well, I figure we got to bring some to Dallas, right?
True.
You know, so true. Definitely I want to get like a box of like, say, 200 and bring them to Dallas. You know, not to give them all away, but to have some and hand out a few. People will need pens at the conference, I'm thinking. Which,
you know, James books, that's what we can do. We can, when we set up our table at Judith's conference selling Walt Brown's book, we can always autograph those books, you know.
Well, I figure we can give away anybody who comes over to our table, we can give away stickers and pens. And I'll gladly sign the backs of the stickers if they want, and you could sign too. If you like, and we could give them, you know, autographed stickers free, but you know, you got to pay for Walt Brown's book.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, okay. I'm thinking, I mean, you know, we got all kinds of diabolical possibilities.
But we can always sign inside the book. You know, if Walt was here, he would definitely say thank you.
There you go.
Chuck it.
There you go. I might be able to arrange to have Walt just put his signature in the books, and then maybe we could put a message over top of his signature.
That's true. We need to. How is he doing, by the way? Have you heard from him lately?
You know, I haven't talked to him directly because I've been so involved with my own stuff. He's one of those people I haven't called in a bit. But, yeah, I got to check in with him, too.
If he's got a box of books that, you know, he wants to donate to the effort, we'll sell them for him.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to donate them, but maybe he'll give us a discount. Yeah.
Hey, Walt, send us 10 books. We'll sell them at our table.
Right.
If we don't sell them, I'll send them back.
Well, look, if we don't sell them, I'll come up with a way to pay for them, and we'll just give them away somehow. You know what I mean? Because I'd rather that information gets out.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm thinking.
I've enjoyed my. Hey, that's what we can do. We can have another Christmas trivia like we did last time and give away books.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Get together, you know, again, just go to the authors that are around, see if anybody. I mean, I'm sure Mike's sick of giving me books, but I could get some other people to give me books this time.
We'll figure something.
Yeah.
We'll figure something. Has Maria. And this may be a dumb question, but I've not followed her enough to know. Has she written any books?
Yes, she has. She's written a few. And I don't think they're currently in physical print anymore, but you can still get the ebooks.
Yeah.
But, so I might be able to set something up like that with her books too. That would be good. She wrote a book on relationships, actually. There's some other stuff that she's written like 3 books. That's terrible. I can't even think of how many books she wrote, but I'm pretty sure it's at least 3. And one of them is on relationships. Yeah.
See if we can do something with that.
Right, right. Oh, Jacob Hornberger I'm going to have on again, too, who wrote quite a few books also. They're very thin Kennedy books, which, by the way, BP, I think you're going to enjoy last night's show having to do with the Walker shooting. A new look.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally new look at it. Like something that I don't think anybody's ever really seriously considered in writing before by a guy who's pretty interesting. His views there.
Is it up yet?
Sorry, you broke up. What?
Is it on the website yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on the website.
Oh, okay. Well, then good. I can listen to it in the morning.
Yeah, I put it out today, so it's up there. I don't remember what time I put it out, but I also put it out through the podcast feed. Anyway, look, Vance, I'm sitting here talking over you, and I'm not letting you talk about anything else. Was there anything else you wanted to throw on the table, or should we go to a break, you think?
We can go ahead and go to break if you'd like. I had comments on the police thing and the economy thing, and, you know, we can get to that later in more detail if you want to take a break.
No, that definitely sounds good. Did you hear about the news story that Jimmy James was referencing? Because I hadn't heard about this latest sovereign citizen guy getting himself shot.
I think it's the one I saw recently, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to discuss that a little more. And BP's still got some other news items to get to. So I'll tell you what, Vance, you hang on. Jimmy James is still hanging on. And you guys out there who are listening, you could participate if you like. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. Hopefully we're coming to you live and loud and clear on the 17th day of March, 2023. Here on the Ocelli Radio Network, a Ocelli Effect Friday night call-in show is a thing. If you're hearing it further on down the stream without a time machine, well, you can't call in. But, again, if you're hearing us live, 319-527-5016, or send me a message, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I can call you into the show if you like. And the Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
The Ocelli.com Radio Network.
Mad Buffalo of the Airways.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com Radio Network.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination broken into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at kiasjfk@aol.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I couldn't even, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Fix the oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's just, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Second segment of the live Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night. The call-in show, 319-527-5016. If you're hearing us live on St. Patty's Day, I guess it is, the 17th day of March, 2023. If you're hearing it live, you can become part of the show, 319-527-5016. Or you can join me, charles.ocelli, via Skype. That is my handle. And if you send me a message, I can call you into the show. And I did just that during the break. My co-host B. Pete is with me, as always on Friday nights. Glad he is, because tell you that's one of the things that has forced me to keep doing the call-in show on Fridays, is that I got a stable co-host to work with. So even when I'm not prepared to do a show on my own, I can turn to B. Pete and say, let's wing something together, and this is what you get. And again, you out there listening can be a part of it just as easily by calling in 319-527-5016 or reaching out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype. Ask me to, and I can call you into the show. Okay, so I got Nature Boy on the line, B. Pete, during the break, as you well know already, but the audience doesn't. Fourth wall there. So you mind if we go to him and see what he's got on his mind, or should we conclude something from your list? What?
No, let's go ahead on to Nature Boy, and I'd like to say welcome to him and welcome to Vance. I had a chance to welcome him in tonight. But yeah, bring up Nature Boy.
Right, and we do have Vance and Jimmy James on hold on the regular phones too. So at some point I'll let the chaos reign and bring everybody in all at once. And Mrs. O has threatened to call in as well. So we'll see if that happens. Okay, so anyway, Nature Boy, man, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well, just trying to stay dry in this crazy state of California and hoping the Letty holds, man. But
by the way, just full credit, sorry to cut you off, but just full credit here is that without Nature Boy's help, we would not have had some of the archive shows that I've been able to re-release lately. So, you know, I don't know what everybody thinks of all that, because I had one piece go to Patreon, one piece went to Rockfin, and a couple of them went to the regular podcast feed. Some stuff, you know, from the old days, give you something else to listen to. And I think it might have been kind of entertaining to catch the very first time the show went live, because we had a couple of pieces of audio cut together there into a 3-hour podcast. I don't know, maybe you guys are bored to death with that crap or whatever, but it was a good way to get Joan Mellon back on the show, which, by the way, I was in contact with her this week as well. And I've been in contact with a few old guests and some new ones. Just got to organize things and get everybody's schedules worked together, and we'll have some new and old guests back on the show very, very soon on the live stream. So anyway, just want to make sure that Nature Boy gets credit, because I know I put it in the podcast notes that you had edited and done voiceover for it, and I really appreciate your help there. Because if I was to try and do it all on my own this week, nothing would have gotten done, because I was very much tied up with rebuilding the whole damn studio, which, by the way, I cleaned out the office. And Nature Boy, you've been here. So I cleaned out the office. I rearranged stuff and reorganized things and actually picked up a bunch of dollar store bins and put a lot of, you know, I have crap scattered everywhere in my office, right? So I kind of reorganized
it. Let's just say you have a varied collection of things. Yes.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of books, yes, but then again, there's also, like, you know, envelopes, people have mailed me things, whatever, that stuff, I keep it. You know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of stuff in here, spare equipment, et cetera. So, yeah, but I reorganized everything. It actually looks, like, nice, I think, at this point, Nature Boy. Nice. So, yeah, so freshly rebuilt, clean, spring cleaning, try to, you know, reset the vibe of the place, the whole bit, so... anyway, hopefully it does us all some good as we go forward. So anyway, but full credit to you, because otherwise we wouldn't have had some fresher material, and even the revamped stuff that came out this week. Definitely due to your work, because I had, you know, no computer facilities to do anything at a certain point, and was asking you to, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? Okay, I'll work back and forth with you a little bit. And I definitely would not have gotten as much done at all without your help. And also Ray, our friend from down under there, who is helping me with the BitChute channel and a lot of video stuff, and very, very cool. Ray also threw a couple of bucks toward the effort to get the new computer in, which, again, thanks to everybody. And there are things going out in the mail. Personal thank yous to people who I have. Your mailing address, right? If you contributed toward the effort to put the network back on air, it was done relatively quickly. And instead of it taking me 3.5 days personally, it took me about 1.5 days once I got everything in hand. But I took a couple of days getting everything in hand. So, but it was done fairly quickly. So thank you to everybody. And again, thanks, Nature Boy, for helping me out. So with all that being said, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, it's funny. You guys were talking about the water bottle and the pen. And for my water bottle and pen, I've had for, what, 3 years now? And I use my water bottle every night. It sits next to my bedside table. And the nice thing about having a BP-free whatever bottle is that you can keep water in there for a long time, and it still stays fresh. So, and then as I'm taking notes, I look down, and what do I have in my hand? Put my Acelli Effect pen.
There you go. I forgot to give Addy Ads pens today.
Yeah, that's real cool that he came by and hung out there at the Acelli Studios, man. What do you think? How do you like it?
You know, for a couple of minutes, it was kind of funny because Addy kind of knows me but doesn't know me real super well. He was like, you know, I kind of pictured you as a bachelor. I didn't realize you were kind of a family guy with, you know, the dogs and the kid and the missus. And I'm like, yeah, I know, because I'm on the mic by myself a lot. But no, that's the rest of my home is my home with everybody, you know, Mrs. O, Frankie, and, well, you know, all the dogs, right?
Yes.
So, and you met them all too, by the way.
They keep you warm at night. Crashing on your couch, you know, they're like little mini heaters, man. You know,
yeah. I think Lucy liked you the best. That's the
mom, I love Lucy,
the older doggy. She's really the family dog, and I think she wanted to hang out with you the most.
She's the love sponge. She's just the type. She just comes up there and looks at you and just plops down in your lap and just hangs out there, and you just pet her, and she's like not hyper and she's mellow, you know. And then rest in peace, Mr. Napoleon. He was just the complete polar opposite, but I did find a cool trick. You know how he's always would get up there and just bug you?
Yeah.
I would gently blow air right in his face, and first it'd shake, and he's like, what? And then he'd just back off. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if I can do that again. And he came back up and did what he naturally does, and I did that little trick, and he was like, okay, cool. And then he'd just kind of like wander off. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, I've met your family. The depth of your family, the depth of your home, also shows a little, a small reflection of the depth of your character. I think a lot of people on air don't understand you as a full package, especially new listeners. You know, they, you know, because of your upbringing and your accent and your lineage, people think, oh, he's just a mook, which is far from the truth of the reality. You know, you're actually, well, you know, a polymath. There's not a subject I've ever not seen you when I used to produce the Wednesday show. I'd bring on guests, and there was never one time could you not hit the topic and speak competently and do well on that topic. So a little bit right back to you, you know, mutual love of society, I guess you say.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that. Really, I don't know what to say in response to that, but thank you. And look, I am just who I am, right?
You're
so
right.
Anyway, not necessarily what everybody thinks I am, but anyhow, it is what it is. Anyways,
but enough with that. Enough mutualist society. I do have something really quick. If I do have time, could I bring up a quick little article?
Go for it. Yeah.
All right. Here is something that when it happened, our news media and the stupidity of the people that put out these things. I'll just read the article. New COVID origins data point. Wait, new COVID origins data point to raccoon dogs in China market. Bro, I thought it was a joke.
Wait a minute. Raccoon dogs or rat-coon dogs?
Raccoon dogs from China.
Okay.
Is the new origin for COVID. And this is an AP article, by the way. This is not before it was news.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know what to say about this anymore. I mean, we have admissions that, you know, look, even though we told you weren't even allowed to speak about it coming out of a lab, well, maybe it did come out of a lab. Well, maybe, you know, okay. And now we're going to go back to the wet market and what animals you shouldn't eat, right? Mm-hmm. Very, very weird. But, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I thought it was ridiculous when I found out that their pangolin was true from South Park. That's the first time I found that out. Mm-hmm. And now, when I first heard this, I'm like, nah, that's BS. Well, I looked it up. It's AP, and now they're trying to put out that narrative. My question is, how many people out there bought into that?
Well, which one? The penguin, this thing, the bat? Remember, for a little bit, there was a bat, right?
Well, that was the first thing, you know. The third time's a charm. And now I wonder how many people this current one about a raccoon dog is the source for the coronavirus. Oh. Yeah.
Originally, it was bats that they couldn't find the link between the bats that they were being studied in the lab. But they couldn't find a link between the bats in nature and man. And they said at first it was this animal, a mammal, it's a pangolin, which is kind of like armadillo, porcupine, but instead of spines, it's got scales. Okay. A little dinosaur looking thing. Well, now, it says here an international team of virus experts on Tuesday said that they found data from the raccoon dogs for sale there. The thing is, though, these are samples that were, genetic data was drawn from swabs taken from in and around the Hunan seafood wholesale market starting in January 2020. I don't know how much, I don't know how much this is legit.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen to this statement right here in the one I'm reading. It's the second paragraph down. It says, quote, this data does not provide a definitive answer to how the pandemic began, but every piece of data is important to moving us closer to that answer. End quote. World Health Organizer Director Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, I can't pronounce the name, but the director of the WHO put this out last Friday. That's just ridiculous. And then to me, this statement, sorry to interrupt, I'll shut my mouth really quick. Just it's so Bernaysian. These data do not provide definitive answer to how the pandemic began, but every piece of data is important to moving us closer to that answer. What a crock of crap.
Hmm. Well, there you have it. I mean, any more commentary you want to add to that, BP? Because we do have another caller, and I wouldn't mind getting every caller's opinion on this, too.
Yeah, very quickly. Reading through this, and this story is at the New York Times. Reading through it and what they've gone through on the data, they're looking at it versus reports of what they did in the lab. The lab back in September of 19, I think it was late September. Something happened at the lab that the military actually went in and took control of the Wuhan lab. And at the same time, they put out bids for a new ventilation system. And then they started tracking clusters of outbreaks among families of people that worked at the lab. And so what we're seeing in these new reports is something coming from China, then it very well could be something just to misdirect the whole thing. Because, you know, originally they said that the U.S. military came up with it. And if you look at the funding that was going on, you could almost make that accusation stick.
Yeah, well, so, you know, does anybody miss the balloons yet? I mean, you know, here we go.
Yeah. No, seriously, if you look at some of the emails that have come out now, Congress is now that they're having a hearing on it, some of this stuff is coming out. The emails that went on when this thing originally started breaking in the States, they started looking at Echo Health Alliance and how the money was going from us to Wuhan because Obama had put off gain-of-function testing in the United States. And that's why the person that was working with the person over here at UNC took their little lab samples and booked back to China, and we just started sending money over there. So conceivably, you could say, because some of the money that went to Wuhan was coming from the Defense Department, it's quite possible. But we'll see as more of this stuff comes out.
Right. Well, that's the only sentiment I can agree with in the article, is that as the data points come out, they are not definitive. This is true. But the way they're putting it and adding it to it is very weird, and it is completely meant to give you a jigsaw puzzle so that, you know, figure out how to assemble this. No picture, just the puzzle pieces, you know. You're going to tell us you'll figure out what the picture is if you decide to put it together. And I think the majority of people are not going to decide to put anything together. They're just going to look at a couple of pieces that fit together and say, that's it, you know, and be done with it. I think it's going to end up with a whole lot of people not really figuring out at the end of the day how this actually happened on purpose. Yeah. That's the way I see it, but...
Yeah, Real Clear Investigations did a study, and I'll see if I can find a link and put it in the room, that went through some of the data that we've gotten from intelligence communities on things that were going on from September to the end of the year over in China before, you know, it didn't really break out here till what, January? Or I think our first case was traced back to, it was either January or very late December in the States, so... It's very interesting to see what was going on over there and how people were moving about in departments of the Chinese government when this went on. Something happened at that lab that gained an ultimatum, and somebody from the high level table of leaders in the party went to Wuhan, and that's when the military moved in and took over the lab. And then that's when they started rebuilding their vent system. So they're thinking it was an accidental leak. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, but if they're doing that in response to it, then it's a matter of figuring out how long it took them to figure it out. You know, when it actually happened.
They're very easily gotten from the lab to the Wuhan market by simply having employees and family members that had it. Because you remember now, COVID, in the form that we've seen it hit, most of the infections were asymptomatic. And originally they thought, oh, asymptomatic people there's no transmission or anything. And then they come to find out, actually, most people that had it had an asymptomatic case.
There you go.
So who knows where this thing went?
Yeah.
Could have very easily gotten into the animal kingdom from human at the Wuhan market.
Yeah, there you have it. Another possibility, but still without all the data, not quite possible to flesh it all out just yet. So let's get to the next caller, and then we'll go back around with everybody who's on hold on the lines there, and see where we go from here. We're just making it up as we go along tonight. Also, Nature Boy probably has a couple other things to bring up, but we'll hold him back for a second. because I think I recognize this number calling in. And how are things in the next room there, sweetie?
Hey, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Mrs. O calling in, everybody, in case you don't recognize the voice. Matter of fact, I was going over an old sound file with your voice on it a couple of days ago and remarking how, you know, eight, nine years ago, you might have sounded a little different, hon. Just saying. But anyway.
Well, I was young.
Yeah,
I'm an old lady now.
Well, we were all a little younger 8 or 9 years ago, and some of us even younger because we've aged a lot over the past few years. Some of us. Not you. I'm just saying some of us.
No.
But anyway, what's on your mind, hon?
No. Not much, really.
Okay. fair enough. Did you have any comments on this Wuhan thing with the new data points coming out, or do you want me to just leave you there and see if you want to comment on something later?
Well, I don't know much about what you were talking about when they saying it came from outer space or something now.
I imagine that'll come soon. You know, there'll be some asteroid that landed that actually had the original piece of, you know, why not? The original protein was actually a fossilized thing that was on this asteroid that came down, and somehow somebody decided to replicate it and what are we doing? Jurassic Park 9? Something next. I wouldn't be surprised. How about that? I don't know that they'll definitely try to pull that out, but because I don't think that movie, the last couple of those, were all that successful. But, you know, then again, I don't keep track of Hollywood box office receipts, so who knows? Let's let Jimmy James in on the fun here for a minute, unless you got something different you want to throw on the table independently, hon.
No, I just haven't been watching the news lately. I've been watching the true crime channels with the Murdaugh murders, and then the guy that killed the four students in, what is that, in Utah?
Well, you got to watch something other than me having a nervous breakdown in the office, right? I mean, you could tell people I behaved fairly well. I didn't even throw stuff all that much, right?
No, it was a little controlled, which is good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I'm much better since the mushroom treatments. I got to tell you.
Well, but, that is true. Yeah. And you know, they're starting to come out now saying that they're beneficial. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once the government says it's okay, then it's okay. You can't explore that on your own. You know, you need permission.
Well, you know what's going to happen there is they're going to figure out a way to package it and, you know, in one way or another corrupt it. It'll be some crap version of it. Well, we have a synthetic version of this.
Of course.
You know, and the bonus is it's actually addictive, you know, something like that. But, you know,
the way for them to make money.
No, as long as they can tax it and some corporation can, you know, make a mint on it, they'll definitely, you know, bring it to market. But not in time to help a whole bunch of people that it could have helped already. But, you know, such is the way of the world.
Our
right?
State, you know, our state's actually going through that with medical marijuana. They just passed legalized medical marijuana in the state. So the state has put out a contract for companies that can open. I think they have to open 7 regional pharmacies or distribution centers.
Dispensaries.
Dispensaries. I don't know how many contracts they're going to offer to cover the whole state. But for one contract, you have to open, I think it is 7. It's either 6 or 7 sites. So it's going to be interesting to see how that takes place.
Well, you know, depending on how profitable it is and how many, you know, side deals can be cut and people can make, you know, off the books money on it, you'll see many of them, I'm sure. But they got to, you know, they got to test it.
Georgia, they can't, right?
Do what, Mrs. O?
Georgia hasn't passed.
No, we didn't pass it here.
I think... Right.
Yeah, we did not pass it here.
You can carry a gun without a license and all that, but
Yeah, but it makes me wonder if they ever do get around to saying, okay, hallucinogenics are okay, if they're just going to offer these already operating contracts. Okay, you guys going to handle mushrooms now? We got to come up with a packaging standard.
Well, you know, I don't know if they'll separate that or not. I mean, stay tuned again, because you can see incrementally they introduce this stuff. But it is good news to see that there is, you know, that a lot of people have been convinced for many years that there was no point to any of that, and it's just people wanting to get high are going to find out that, you know what, there's actually some benefits to this that could, you know, help some people out who can't be helped otherwise. So, I mean, it's really double-edged.
Why is it so hard to fathom that a plant or, excuse me, a vegetable can be helpful? I mean,
I understand.
We see that in our foods every day.
Look, I understand.
It's not that.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's the fact that at one time these things became mainstream through recreational use.
Mm-hmm.
And so to admit that it has healthful properties goes against the DEA and their determination that, I mean, like, marijuana is the same class drug as a hallucinogen. Come on, give me a break. That law's been around for what now?
What?
7 years? And they still haven't changed it, even though that they've recognized medical marijuana. Now, I don't know how long it's going to be before we get recreational. It may be harder to get that here in this state, considering we're in the South and the Bible Belt. But, you know, because of the way these drugs were brought into society to begin with, that's a bad thing, because the government wasn't controlling it, and it was an illicit trade. So now, as long as they can get their tax out of it, you're going to hear them say this stuff's great.
Well, complex, right. Complex and continuously evolving issue, but anyway, let me see if I can get everybody else in on the discussion real quick here, and we'll go to Jimmy James because he's been on hold the longest, and want to see if you got any comments on either the Wuhan thing or, I mean, the use of a fungus, for God's sake, in order to help people. Up to you.
Well, I like your idea, Mick. It's so pathetic and addictive.
Yeah, of course.
That sounds good.
Somebody better patent that quick, because I guarantee, yeah.
Jesus. Ah, you guys crack me up sometimes. Synthetic and addictive. Well, maybe.
Yeah, why not?
Still, those antibiotics that they make for pennies sure were beneficial. Not a lot of money making on that whole deal. Back to the Wuhan thing. Look, March 2020, I read the papers and I knew exactly what happened, and my ideas haven't changed since. Obviously, it was the Wuhan lab.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. I would say the origin, though, could possibly be traced back to the United States, but, you know.
No, and I do want to make one correction to what B.P. said. That communist military was always in that place before that. So yeah.
Oh, I know.
They showed up after the fact.
No. Don't mistake what I said. They took over. They were there. They've been involved in it because they were doing Chinese military experiments for shit.
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that they were there. And by the way, yeah, Fauci was fooling around directly against the orders of the multiple presidents, told them to knock it off with this junk.
Right.
Well,
and
the one thing,
not for nothing,
you disagree,
the amount of money that Fauci sent to that lab was $4,500, so I don't think it caused all that much damage.
Well, all right. Anyway. So,
there's origin, though. I think very seriously, the lady who headed up the program in China was going into caves to get samples of bat guana from, I mean, years back. And that's the work that they were doing in Chapel Hill. In fact, I think it was in 2014, they tried to contact the DOD about their program under DARPA, about the SARS, they wanted to patent and have their support in working on this vaccine that they came out with in 2014. It was the SARS virus. Mm. So it's funny, 2014, they wanted to go, and the state said, no, we have a ban on that type of work, and we've stopped it. You know, when Obama put his foot down, suddenly what was being done here at different universities, and I think Fort Detrick, one of the main places was University of North Carolina. And that's where the guy was working that learned how to go in there and put the cleave in that allowed this thing to start. Up until that time, SARS-CoV could not attach to human cells. They had nowhere to connect. And they went in there and did a splice that allowed this thing to suddenly attach itself to human lung tissue. And that's why it was such a rampant pandemic when it hit. It had been modified. Well, when the U.S. put the stop to the funding, they just gathered up the operation and went to China. So you could conceivably find a source that may trace back to either UNC or Fort Detrick, because these people were involved. I mean, they were the ones that were, they were the pioneers in SARS research. So it's very conceivable that we may find out in the long run that this is something that started back in 2012 and earlier, here in our local labs, well, that got transported over there because of the ban on funding for it.
Well, what's very interesting to me is that during that time period, right, there was the multiple constant, actually, barrage of different, pandemic threats, so to speak, right? Zika virus is going to come for all of us, and MERS and SARS and all that stuff in that time period was being pushed out to the public, like these are potentially some serious problems that, that could come back around. And I mean, you can just go back and trace over that stuff yourself if you want. Just go look back at, news reports about the different pandemic threats, right? Which they were talking about alongside of the Ebola immersions and things in different places. Of course, the major argument with, Ebola can't spread across the planet because it kills too fast. But some of these other things, they linger, they stay around longer, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, there was a lot of jokes about the Zika because of the big-headed babies and all that. But I find it interesting that that's around the time that controversy is going on. The public is being fed these different, fear threads in order to get you're ready for this idea. And it makes you wonder, are they giving us a menu here to see what sticks best or not? Cause they didn't take Zika very seriously, but, along with swine flu and the avian viruses constantly and all that over and over again, right?
One point that points to manipulation of the COVID virus is this. Mm. When SARS and MERS first broke out in the United States, those breakouts were about 1,000 people for each one. Mm. When COVID hit the United States, it hit tens of thousands.
Right.
Instant. So that's where they're getting into this. This thing had to be manipulated because up until a certain point in this research that was being done at the colleges, SARS could not connect to a human host. Mm. That's why they're looking for the missing link. What is the animal that let this virus leave bats and go to another animal that let it adapt itself that it could then infect humans? Because up until that time, it could not infect humans.
Right. Well before we
went in there, and did a little maintenance on their samples, this thing suddenly would not only replicate itself in humans, but viciously.
Right. So, well, before we keep going back and forth,
the guy that Chuck had on his show the way I understand it is they altered it to spike proteins to stick to the lungs.
Yes.
Would that be about right?
Yes. It sounds about
yes,
right.
Yes, the spike is the adaption that allows it to stick to tissue and do its thing and infect the cells. Yeah. And that is where they put the cleave in. And what they did is they took a manufactured section in the DNA strain and inserted it there. And that allowed the spike proteins to stick and do its business.
Right. So before we go back and forth too much, though, let me get Vance back on the line, see if he wants to comment on any of this. And, again, invite callers because we still have at least a half hour left here, 319-527-5016. And wanted to get back around to Vance, and we still got more to come from Nature Boy. Who knows if Mrs. O wants to drop anything else on the table. But Vance, you know, you have any comments you want to add here, or either about the fungus, the new bits and pieces coming out about the Wuhan lab, et cetera, anything you want to add in?
I got mushroom supplements sitting right here that I'm taking because of my conditions and stuff. And the mushrooms supplementals, they don't make you high. There is no, you know, we're not talking about psilocybin or any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's already marketed all over the world. There's all kind of teas and coffee-like stuff that you can drink that it is good for moods and all that, you know, and they got the gummies and, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping to gain a sponsor if we can, that's a mushroom company that doesn't sell any psilocybin. But they do sell a variety of other things for all sorts of ailments. And I know factually that, you know, my joint pain was assisted with the chaga mushrooms, you know, which have no psychoactive elements to them at all. And that mushrooms are just something that are generally good depending on what it is, you know, what it is you need to have happen.
Yeah,
they're great
for cancer. The guy that Stamets is Dr. Stamets. I forget his first name. Paul mm-hmm. Stamets, I think.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of real good research that, you know, it's really good for all kinds of cancers, and there's lots of studies going on with that. But I want to get into the Wuhan thing, too, so I'll let Pete respond to whatever he was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just have a question about mushrooms, not something I know a lot about. Mushrooms are a fungus. Could you, and I know a lot of people that take mushrooms. Now, I know a lot about taking mushrooms. I don't know a lot about the makeup on them. When you take psilocybin, some people get a nauseous feeling in their stomach. It messes with you. I had a friend of mine, he ate ranch dressing with them because it was the only way he could keep them down.
Right.
But can you cross that fungus with cannabis and have the cannabis – I mean, cannabis is a cure for nausea. A lot of people smoke it when they're undergoing chemotherapy and things like that. Could you cross-pollinate the two and come up with pot that would make you trip but not make you sick?
Everybody's a little different with the cannabis. You know, for some people, it promotes – you get hungry, right? When generally before you had no appetite. That was one of the first medical uses that was kind of generally acceptable. You know, take chemo patients who definitely didn't have an appetite after puking out their guts all day, and you get them to smoke a little or to ingest a little somehow, and they would get their appetites back, right? It does activate the you know, the digestive a bit, but the mushrooms can do that all by themselves depending on what you put them with. And quite frankly, yeah, you can make different combinations just by combining these things, not necessarily cross-pollination or anything, but just by combining them. Like, I'm sure if I had stuck some cannabis in with my chocolate, because I ate chocolate.
One thing I remember.
Yeah, Jimmy James?
One thing I remember from when I was a kid and did shrooms, though, is I think you're supposed to throw it up. I mean, let's be clear. You're ingesting poison. And then it makes you hallucinate. I think you should throw it up.
Well, it's not poisonous, to my mind.
I don't think it's poisonous.
But that used to be what they said about it. And it does, depending on which one you get, which, by the way, there's more than one type of psilocybin-type mushroom. And I noted that because I got a couple of different types when I did my treatment. You know, some of them made me nauseous and some of them did not. Matter of fact, I was more than happy to be eating while I was going through that experience with some types, and some of the other types, I'm not going to get into it exactly right here now because I don't have the exact characteristics that I could tell you about, but they're kind of shaped differently. And like some of them have longer stems, some of them have, you know, bigger, they form bigger heads, things like this. And when they did, they had different different properties. You know, so I think that there's a lot of study that could be done where you have, you know, and everybody's an individual too, don't forget. So for one person who might get really, really sick taking them, somebody else might not, you know, yeah. where they throw them up.
My stomach at all. It was strange. But yet you're right. You know, it depends on individuals. I knew a guy in school that pot made him. It was like speed, you know, it made him hyper. It made him really hyperactive. It was kind of hard to deal with him sometimes.
Well, I noted, so wound up. And I noted the same thing about opiates, actually. I've heard people say, oh, I can't, you know, take a Percocet or whatever because I'll throw up and I can't handle it. It gives me a headache and this and that. And I go, well, that's weird because I never had any of that stuff from it when I was taking the pills. You know, but like I said, everybody is different. Your system and, you know, it must be customized. So I would say that there's, you know, maybe some general guidelines that people could come up with. You know, if they're grown a certain way, if they're cultivated a certain way, they might have certain, might tend to have certain effects. But again, everybody's an individual. So, but the company that I would like to get on board here, does a thing where they have a coffee replacement as far as they're concerned, right? Which, you know, provides you with the, like you get a bit of an energy boost sort of. From the mushrooms, just the mushrooms, really. You know,
no, I give up my coffee. I don't care how good your mushrooms are. I give up my coffee.
Well, but some people get. Go ahead, Nature Boy. What were you going to say?
I just want to say real quick, BP. I agree. I'm a coffee purist. Okay, so right on. Coffee is coffee.
Well, look, I'm into the coffee and everything, and I live. Partially on caffeine, but I'm just telling you that if I could get the same type of effects from mushrooms, well, then maybe I wouldn't have that higher acid taste in my mouth at the end of the day from drinking coffee, you know, things like this. And I use caffeine actually as a, you know, for legitimate reasons, a bunch of different things. I've discussed this before, I think, on the show, but doesn't matter. The point is that, you know, if you could utilize mushrooms, say, then maybe you don't have to get a sour stomach from, you know, taking in some of these coffees that are very high in acid and things like this. I mean, the quality of the thing that you're drinking, too, is another thing, right? I mean, look, there's a big difference between, sorry, go ahead, BP.
No, I was going to agree. You know, it depends on the quality of what you're drinking. And in coffee, that is definitely the truth.
In particular to you, Vance, you know, given that some of the mushrooms tend to, let's say, encourage different digestive processes, just like cannabis does, right? It sort of gets, you know, the digestive system rolling along, right? There might be different effects that can be had there.
Yeah, well, there's multiple different, you know, varieties, and turkey tail is one of the ones that there's like a combination of them that I'm taking that are, you know, included in a gummy and then some other things. But like you said, mushroom is a fungus, and I just found out, you know, in the last little bit about that funguses are actually more closely related to humans than they are plants, and. Yes. One of the functions, what funguses feed on, decay. Mm-hmm. So they, in your body, you know, as part of your immune system, they promote, you know, attacking the dead tissues and the, you know, the oxidants or whatever. So that's the theory there. And right. A lot of people are like ragging on vegans because they eat mushrooms, but mushrooms are not plants.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. No, they're not plants. They're not plants. And if you look at them if you look at some mushrooms under a microscope, I'll tell you something weird. You know, actually a well-prepared slide with the mushroom, you know, at a certain level, it looks very similar to brain tissue. You know, like human brain tissue.
Yeah, they have like vacation. One of the largest organisms on the planet is a mushroom colony somewhere here in the United States. I think it is. It's like a mushroom. Mm-hmm. It's the largest organism, you know, because it's actually an organism.
I think it's up on the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I'd like to know what it is about a fungus that makes it, that gives it the hallucinogenic properties, because LSD-25, when it was discovered, it's actually from a fungus on an ergo, which is a rye plant. So what is it about the fungus that, you know, gives it the properties?
It's the psilocybin. Psilocybin is the ingredient that is in the certain mushrooms that come from, it has to be cattle that were fed with grain. There's something that's a grain that then that allows it to create that psilocybin compound in those mushrooms. So that's, I'm assuming that's what you're meaning. That's the active ingredient or whatever, like, you know, LSD and all that.
That makes sense.
I remember throwing up a few times on, I remember throwing up a few times with LSD, but never with the mushrooms.
Makes sense then. If your fungus on a rye plant, is, you know, the first discovery of LSD. Now you've got the grain that's being, you know, processed by the cow, which allows that mushroom to grow up and be that way. So it's got to be something connected to the grain fungus, I'll bet you.
Well, it's the decay.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Like he was saying, the process of decay, and I'm not claiming to understand it all, but the process of decaying, certain things decaying, just like, you know, when you do the process to create alcohol, right, and you ferment things, look, some of this stuff ferments one way and another way. Some of it tastes more pleasant just being fermented all by itself. Some of these things you got to add something else to. And in those cases, you add a living organism that has its own natural process, which creates, right, yeast creates a process. Yeah. So, anyways. I know we've gotten into a strange area, but was there anything else you wanted to add in, Vance? Or
I wanted to get more in on the Wuhan part if we get back to that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got about, another 20, 25 minutes. So, yeah, sure. We got time for it. Let you go ahead.
You know, the narrative, you know, somebody said the term coronavirus, and the coronavirus is something that's been around forever, but COVID-19 was supposedly this, you know, novel coronavirus that had these, you know, capabilities, and, you know, hundreds of millions of people were going to die, and BP was saying how the infection rate was, you know, so a lot greater than normal, and to me, you know, from my understanding, that's mostly related to the fact that they were using a fake test, and so they were testing everybody that had any kind of symptoms, and if they're using a false test that doesn't test for the specific COVID-19 virus, then those numbers, you know, you see what I'm saying? I think the numbers were created because, you know, in the reality, there was no really higher death than any other bad flu season that we've had on the planet Earth, and
true. But
you know what the thing is though, Vance, is that when it comes to this testing stuff, I mean, look, you can get false positives on, say, like an HIV test by eating a rare piece of steak, right? You know, the day before. There's lots of different things here where these tests, can be skewed one way or another, or you can create a test that you know is going to be skewed just by certain other circumstances. And, even though it is legitimately going to detect the thing that you say it's going to, it can also be, it can also be skewed result wise because you just know that certain circumstances are going to produce this, right? Like, there have been plenty of people who.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that I can't remember the name of that test now, but even the guy that invented it, it goes back to the Fauci days with the AIDS and all that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that it wasn't the diagnostic test; it was a research tool, and you could basically make it say anything you wanted it to say. And
right.
So they weren't testing. My understanding is they were not testing for the specific thing that was created supposedly in Wuhan. By the Chinese, that specifically test for that. They were testing for the coronavirus, which anybody that's ever had a flu has traces of the coronavirus in them. Okay. Yeah. And so I haven't seen any release of the actual isolation of the actual thing that they're saying was this genetically engineered, what do they call it, gain of function and all that. Now, I'm not saying that I don't believe that it exists and that they were doing that, because they were doing that in Fort Detrick, that, like you said a while ago, that it started at a university and went to Fort Detrick. They shut it down, said you can't do the that research in the United States. So they said, well, we can't stop this. This is an important thing to save the world, and we have to continue this research. So Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation, the NHI, they all funded that lab. That lab was funded by us to continue that research. Mm. So, you know, wherein lies the culpability. And you know, who's profited? And, you know, there was like 300 billionaires made in 2 years off of this shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
let me think about the numbers. I agree with you. The first tests that they came out with were showing positives that weren't really positive. So a lot of the numbers were skewed. But the thing about asymptomatic cases are those people never test because they never come down with a symptom. So it's by chance that they get tested later on after the initial outbreak, you know, because I was forced through my work to take a test from, I think they told us we had to start in December, and we went all the way until May of that next year before they finally said, okay, enough is enough. You're not going to get the shot. We're not going to make you test anymore. But the initial numbers, because of the asymptomatic, they'll never know how many cases there were during that pandemic because so many people that had it never felt a symptom. They never got checked.
Yeah, well, between that and the fact
they had it.
See, between that and
they had it. I had.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Vance, but between that and part of what Vance was talking about here, where you have all these false positives, I would say that it's impossible to determine what the legitimate number is or was.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, that's kind of where, unfortunately, we all have to leave it, because that I remember I used to know the name of that test off the top of my head, and I don't remember it now. But that first little thing that they had out for everybody, and they're still mailing those out, by the way, to people for free, right? They still mail them out if you request them. I don't know if you guys know that, but you can still, like, request your home COVID test, and they're still mailing out those original kind of little package that they had for that.
A Plus customer, you get a whole pack of 10 sent to you every month if you wish. They've been running ads for that for a year or months.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see that one yet, but there you go. Anyway. With the last, say, about 20 minutes maybe that we got left, we could go about that far and we'd get over 2 hours, about 18 minutes, something like that. I'm wondering where you want to go from here, B-Pete. I mean, we lost Mrs. O. We still got Jimmy James. We still got Vance. And we still got Nature Boy on the line. There's a possibility somebody else could call in. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016 if you want to join us. If you're hearing us live about 12 minutes to 9, I guess. Or no, 12 minutes to 10 Eastern time on March 17, 2023. St. Patrick's Day still, I guess. Yeah, if you're hearing us live, you can join us. But if not, hey, you're hearing it and you need a time machine to join us. You're hearing it further on down the stream. But yeah, what would you like to do with the last, let's call it 17 minutes now?
Well, this far into it, there's really no need to keep going down the headline list, although there is one item I want to mention because it refers back to a conversation that we had before about the World Series in baseball and having an actual true World Series. The World Baseball Classic is going on now. It goes on about every 4 years, like the World Cup. In fact, they call it the World Cup of Baseball. It's something that's sponsored by Major League Baseball in addition to these other leagues throughout the world. It's going on right now, and they're down to the second round. They're down to 8 teams, and out of that, they're going to come up with a winner. This used to be kind of done in connection with Olympic preparation, for these teams.
Okay.
But it's getting more to be professional baseball going at it. These teams of these countries, just like in soccer, you've got all the pros that are playing all over the world coming back and playing for their country. And it's been interesting. It's been some of the best baseball I've seen in years. These guys are coming up. I mean, you know, guy walks up, first step up to the plate and knocks the snot out of it. And from there, you have mercy rules. You know, if a team's leading by 10, they go ahead and call the game and they move on. So it's been some real good baseball. The finals are coming up over this weekend, and the championship will be a weekend. No, it'll be Tuesday, March 21st. So any of you people out there that, you know, sympathize with us and really want to see a true World Series, we're at the point now that you're seeing pretty much the professional players of the world go at it, and it's been great.
Mm. I think we haven't seen something like that since, what was it, 84 or 85, I guess, where Team USA was made up of all of our pro players, right? And then we wound up doing that with basketball for the Olympics, too. Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, it's been a while for that. That is more interesting. I mean, if you want to have a world title, then you got to let the world play, right? That's everybody. So, yeah.
Yep. Mexico's got a killer team this year. It's going to be interesting. Right now, they're setting up for the two semifinal games, and it's Cuba against the winner of USA and Venezuela, and it's Japan against the winner of Puerto Rico and Mexico. So it's going to be exciting no matter who wins.
Mm, there you go. So with all that having been said, I got an idea. If you got nothing else that you want to throw out there, BP, I want to go to a story maybe that Nature Boy has prepared, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. So
yeah, that's perfect.
Classic segment. I think Nature Boy has this ready because I sent it to him before I had the meltdown with the broken computer and everything. And maybe we can get everybody's comments. But what I'll do is, all right, we have Jimmy James and Vance on the phones, and somebody else has called in and dropped. So you can join us back on the line if you want, 319-527-5016. I'll give everybody a chance to comment on this one before we're done. And if we run a couple minutes over, then we do. And BP, if you want to bow out early because you got to get up early, I understand. But we might go to, say, quarter after.
I'm good.
Okay, cool.
I'm good.
So, Nature Boy, I sent you a story when I was planning on coming live that Friday and couldn't go live that Friday because the computer broke down. But here we go, Naked News. And for once, you're not the one who found it.
No, I'm not.
I did. And there's a good reason why I found it. Actually, I think Mrs. O first alerted me to it. But I found it interesting. So, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, it's true Macon, Georgia style here. Yeah, I'll just start off with reading the headline. And this is a good one. We haven't had a good Naked News one for a little bit now. Nah. Okay, it's Naked Man Leads Deputies on Chase in Macon in Stolen Privately Owned Ambulance. This is the subheadline. The man was seen doing burnouts on Mercer University Drive in the ambulance. Check this out. He was arrested after trying to escape on foot on Eisenhower. That's the headline.
Okay, now these are all streets, by the way, that I commonly am on with Mrs. O. And Mercer University is it's obviously just like the name implies. It's right over by the college. When we were doing the Uber Eats, you know, for a bit there. We had to make many a delivery to college students, right? You know, they wanted their Taco Bell delivered at midnight or whatever. Okay. And I know exactly where this guy was. This is not a shocking story to me at all. I don't know if everybody remembers that. Were you around the night that I gave people the pictures or video from the lady who just started undressing near the drive-through window at the Wendy's one night.
Is that Mrs. O, Cam?
Yeah, Mrs. O was, like, trying to hide her phone because she didn't want to call attention to herself. So she's, like, videoing the lady and then dropping it down and then bringing it back up. And it was not as fun as it sounds, folks, in case you didn't see it at the time. But these kinds of things happen in our little city here. So I'm not shocked by this story at all. But so he was doing burnouts on Mercer University and Eisenhower, two main drags in Macon, Georgia. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'll just read off the story really quick. And I'll tell you what, let me put on my glasses so I don't have to squint. That might help a little bit. Oh, my God. Thank God for glasses. Sorry. Okay. Macon, Georgia. A naked man in an ambulance under the influence of narcotics lead deputies on a chase in Macon, according to Bibb County Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. They say Bradley Jeremaine Baker stole a privately owned ambulance from a home on Parr Avenue in Macon. This happened on Thursday night from a man that Baker was employed for as a painter. So I guess he ripped off the company truck or something like that. It's said that Baker was seen driving aggressively and without headlights near Mercer University Drive. He was also doing burnouts in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Deputies engaged in a short vehicle pursuit that ended after Baker tried to escape on foot on Eisenhower Parkway. Baker had active warrants out of Bibb County and Douglas County. He has been charged with driving under the influence, suspended or revoked driving license, driving under the influence of drugs, probation violation, public indecency, attempting to elude a police officer, and theft by taking. End of article.
So,
yeah,
so the guy was painting, getting high and painting, and somehow ends up with the ambulance. So, and naked too. There is no explanation as to how he got naked, as to how this whole thing really unfolds. They just give you the story, and I haven't seen a follow-up on this, guys, locally, okay? That's it. Just that happened. Okay. So there you go. Macon, Georgia. Welcome to Georgia. That's the way it is. So, you know, I'll go in an unusual direction here and get B. Pete's thoughts first. B. Pete?
On the naked influence, let's see. I would see something like that kind of happening here.
Okay.
I could see that.
Does it sound like a Kinston story to you? Is that possible too?
Oh, it sounds like a North Carolina story. I learned a long time ago. Usually when you hear something absurd in the news, there's usually a North Carolina connection somewhere down the line.
It's funny. I always say that about Jersey, but anyway. It's like, you know, if it's alligators and, like, really insane, crazy people doing stuff, it's Florida. If it's something absurd, I usually think Jersey. And but this one was pretty good locally. And I just love how, it, you know, this happened. Okay, moving on. And that's the way it was.
As a quick update, our Naked News founder, I guess you could call him, Mr. Pickard, goes to court on the 27th of March.
Oh, right. The first guy that we covered, in the Naked News stories, who has so many charges against him. I don't even want to take the time to read them all, but also had the girlfriend, right? This is the guy, in case you guys forgot, who was like, trying to do an attempted carjacking and, ended up swimming at one point, I guess, was nude, banging on trailer doors, all kinds of wild stuff.
He's trying to pull off a home invasion so that he could carjack a car.
Sorry.
When he couldn't, then ended up swimming the French Broad River naked.
There we go. I stand corrected. Still, it's quite the story, and we'll finally get a conclusion to that story, I guess, on the 27th, huh?
Well, they'll probably get it put off again. I'm just wondering, you know, it's been well over a year, almost 2 years, and I know there was a backlog in the courts due to COVID, but this guy keeps getting it put off, so I guess he's enjoying his stay at the Buncombe County Jail.
Well, eventually you figure somebody's got to, you know, pull out that old, what about my right to a speedy trial card, I'm thinking. But who knows? Maybe, maybe not. All right. So with that, I think we'll go to Vance next. We'll go in reverse order here. Yeah, because that other caller has jumped on, jumped off. They just don't have patience, or they have a bad phone. So we'll go to Vance. Any comment on the guy with the stolen ambulance in Macon, Georgia?
And it was because he was high on paint?
No, he was painting as a job and apparently had some narcotics in his system, you know. So.
Okay. So I thought he got high from the paint like he was, you know, breathing fumes, and then he went crazy because of, you know, breathing fumes because, you know, that's easy to do.
Well, that would be a great new ad campaign for Sherman Williams, right? Hey, you want to, you know, have a good time? Get our paint because it'll get you. Yeah. You might steal an ambulance.
Like oil-based paint. Yeah, oil-based paint, you know, is toxic like that. You know, it'll get you high, and you're supposed to use ventilation. My dad, when he was like 18, worked as a painter, and he was painting in this room, and the door didn't have, it was like a new house, and the door handles weren't on. Right away, anyway, he couldn't get out, and when he realized he was getting high, and then he ended up punching holes through the wall, and he got out. but yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
No,
I digress.
No need to be sorry. People do strange things when they have a head rush. You know, right? So speaking of,
hey, is it just me, or do people that know Patrick? Most painters I know are alcoholics, and I think it comes from huffing the fumes all day. Is that a common thing, or is that just the ones I've come across?
I don't know. Vance, what do you think?
Well, my dad wasn't an alcoholic then. He is now, but pretty sure he wasn't then. But yeah, that's probably just, you know, I mean, you could say that about a lot of professions, I guess.
No, but come to think of it.
North Carolina,
I got to say that I think almost every guy that I know that was like a painter, that was his main job. I can't think of one that wasn't an alcoholic that I've ever known, actually, come to think of it. I never thought about it before. But who knows? Maybe it's coincidence, or maybe it's just the people that I know. Right? So I don't know. But with that, speaking of people doing strange things with a head rush, Jimmy James. Any comments on this? I'm messing with you, man. I'm just messing with you, but any comments on the naked guy stealing an ambulance and all that?
Yeah, well, Vance just came up with his defense. He could say it was the paint.
Ah, so instead
of... The fumes just overtook him, and he went nuts.
So instead of the Twinkie defense, it's the painter's head rush defense, right? It wasn't the drugs, Your Honor. It wasn't that I was wanting to do something criminal. It's just I was all screwed up from the paint fumes.
It wasn't meth. It wasn't the meth, man. It was that paint.
It wasn't the meth. It was the paint.
Sherwin Williams.
There's a T-shirt for you. It wasn't the meth. It was the paint. Sherman Williams. There's a T-shirt right there. I love it. What do you think, BP? Can we sell those?
Oh, those will go viral.
Okay, Nature Boy.
He could sell it to the jury. All he's got to do is convince one guy.
Fair enough. BP, any thoughts on any of that?
I agree with Jimmy James. You know, you only got to convince one, but I'm sure there could be several slogans. Not only, I mean, you got Sherwin Williams, you got Pittsburgh Paints, you got Bear. Get Bear with Bear.
Ooh,
you know,
there you go.
It wasn't
it's the worst. That stuff's really messed me up, man. Once I painted my house with that Pittsburgh paint, I woke up naked in the field.
Wow. There you go. I would have never thought of that. It wasn't the drugs. It wasn't me wanting to be a criminal. It's the paint, Your Honor. I could not help myself. My exposure to it.
Yep. I would think... You know, I don't think it would take that crafty defense lawyer to make it stick. If he brought in this, you know, here's the evidence of people huffing paint and the effects, you know, instead of jumping off a 23-story building, my client decided to get a ride home in an ambulance naked.
Mm. There you have it. So I am informed by Mrs. O that her battery died, so we can't get a final word from her. But Nature Boy, I want to start with you because you're on the Skype, and then go around to everybody and give everybody a chance to kind of give a parting comment. If that's okay with you, B-Pete, I think we had an interesting and fun show this Friday night. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea. I think I'm going to write down and keep in my notes that to tell my lawyer if I'm ever in that situation to say, Your Honor, he tried to get an Uber, but they wouldn't take him naked, so he took the ambulance.
Keep that one right next to the whole, you know, look, I had a really rough childhood, right? Add that together with it, sort of like the cum hammer defense, if anybody's watching the new season of South Park. You know, what is your brand? So you always got to add victim to the end. You know, I was exposed to paint fumes and this, and I was a victim. I was out of a terrible childhood. So therefore, not only let me go, but with an apology. So there
yes,
it is.
I was a teenager.
Okay, so how about this? We'll start off with Nature Boy to get his parting comments from every, you know, for this week. And we'll go to, I guess, in reverse order, we'll go to Vance and give Jimmy James the last. And, of course, UB Pete can jump in there somewhere. What do you think? Is that a good order?
Oh, sounds like a plan.
All right. So, Nature Boy, go ahead and give us your parting thoughts for the week.
I'm just glad to be here tonight. It's been a little bit. Been really kind of busy on Friday nights, so it's kind of, like, nice to hang out with friends and family and all the listeners out there. But like I say every time, support the Ocelli Effect. All the listeners out there, we're working on the Rockfin channel, and we've got some of those remastered archives up there, and we're going to be building that up there very soon. And support us. If you go to Rockfin, it's free to use. Leave us a comment. Go to Ocelli.com. If you got a few dollars, just pitch it in on the donation. It really means a lot, especially when it's done in numbers. Keep us helping Chuck to keep this station alive, healthy, and get the word out. And that's about it.
There you go, man. Appreciate all that. And, yeah, there's going to be exclusive content on Rockfin. The BitChute channel, again, shout out to Ray, you know, from Oceana over there. It's already Saturday for him. But, you know, hopefully his day is going okay. I think they're like a full 12 hours ahead, so it might be mid-morning on Saturday for him or something like that. But anyway, either way, he's been the curator of the BitChute channel, but also helping us out with other video content and stuff. And there will be a lot more video content, including on Instagram, which is being built up now, and various other channels, Odyssey. Rumble is still early on, but I was the one working on Rumble, so there's only a handful of things up there. Lots of new channels. If you look at my link tree, you can find it all now, so that'll be in the show notes anyway. So with that, I guess we should go over to Vance and get his parting thoughts for the week. B-Pete, what do you think?
Sounds good. Oh. Vance, what do you think?
Everybody try to stay positive because, you know, the world's probably not going to end tomorrow, even though, you know, they're constantly telling us, you know, World War III is right around the corner. But, you know, World War III started on 9/11, just in case anybody's not paying attention. But it was good to talk to y'all and look forward to next Friday.
Absolutely, brother. And I look forward to hearing from you for a long time to come. And I want you to stay strong. So keep on keeping on with us, and you know what? Also, send me your mailing address again. I might have something I want to drop in the mail to you, so if you can send me an email, because I don't keep anybody's address for too long. I think I lost yours. Send me your mailing address again so I can send you a little something. I got a few envelopes I got to put out in the mail this week also. And likewise, Jimmy James, by the way, do me a favor and send me your address again. I don't know if it'll make it there, but I want to drop something in the mail to you. Okay, so, and I could not find your mailing address recently, because I think it was on the computer that died, where I had it noted, but if you could, that way I can get you an envelope with something in it soon, if it makes it there.
Yeah, that's cool. Might want to send it certified. I'm really bummed out that $2 bill silver certificate didn't make it.
I'm sorry, man. I really am. I swear to you I sent it. I've sent you a few things, and, you know, what do we got? About 50% of it shows up for you one way or another?
Two out of five. They're not even as high as the post office ranks higher than the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Well, that's not saying much, but there you go. So your parting thoughts, sir.
Exactly. It ain't good.
It ain't good.
Look, everyone, I just watch, just because I don't agree with everyone. First off, none of us agree totally with each other 100%. But I agree 100% that you have the right to say it. I want you to say it. Right. And I like all of you. And if we have disagreements, please don't take it personally.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. And always, you know, I know that you and I have disagreements, but I always welcome your comments, your commentary, and your interactions, brother. So, you know, appreciate you. Thanks, Jimmy James.
Yeah, everyone have a good weekend. Bye.
There you go. Jimmy James, the legendary caller himself. And I haven't heard from his fan club recently, B. Pete, but I have a feeling I might soon since I just mentioned them again. But anyway, your parting thoughts for this week, I guess we're down to, because everybody else is either hung up or already kicked in.
Well, I'd like to thank Jimmy and Nature Boy and Vance for calling in. You know, they are a part of the program, so it's always better when we have them here with us. Other than that, a lot of people have lost extended COVID benefits on their EBT cards, food stamps, WIC, things like that. So a lot of government money just went away. So I would urge people to go out there and please help your neighborhood food basket, food pantries. A lot of people are going to be needing it, and, you know, every little bit it helps. And consider getting those items that you don't necessarily, you can't get in some states, you can't get certain items with EBT benefits. So, you know, things like soap and toothpaste and toothbrushes, paper products, those things come in handy to a lot of people because they just don't have the money to get them. So, you know, look out for your neighbors. And I appreciate that we were able to do this week. I know we missed last week, but, hey, things happen. Looking forward to next week. And so until then, I hope everybody has a good week.
There you go. And we may return to our newly adopted format next week and get a little more organized. But I'm just really glad we could get back on the air this week, despite my minor mental breakdown. Pulling it back together, which I might discuss more in the future, but I'm not quite ready. Anyways, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I appreciate you, especially the people who have kicked in and helped keep us going. You know who you are, and again, if you kicked in recently and I don't have your mailing address, feel free to send it to me, blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com or info@ocelli.com, and we'll get something out to you as a personal thank you. Meanwhile, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.